Here's an idea. Give your summer interns an advantage with Sports Business Journal. Our on-campus and university program gives leagues, teams, agencies, all organizations, a chance to boost their interns' knowledge of the sports industry with discounted subscription options to SBJ. For more information on how to register your summer interns, contact collegehelp@sportsbusinessjournal.com. That's collegehelp@sportsbusinessjournal.com. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Thursday, April 25th. Good morning. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. It'll be a big party for the city of Detroit. It starts tonight on Thursday as the NFL draft kicks off 8 o'clock Eastern Time, ABC, ESPN, live from downtown Detroit. Round one will be held tonight. Rounds two and three on Friday, and the final four rounds on Saturday. Again, Detroit ready to show off a new revitalized city to the world by hosting the draft. And I'll turn to my producer, Reggie Walker. Reggie, who do you like for the first three picks tonight in the draft?
I think it's going to be pretty predictable at the top. The Chicago Bears, obviously Caleb Williams going to go there. And then in some combination, two and three, Drake May and Jaden Daniels will go between the Washington Commanders and the New England Patriots. So top three quarterbacks, that's a position that's a major discussion point. I think it'll fall that way at the top of the draft.
Well, like you said, it's a quarterback-heavy draft. Quarterback, such a big position. But again, the bottom line, this is a big showcase for Detroit. They've been working hard to host the draft, and it should be quite a weekend in the Motor City. Another city where sports is looking to change the narrative is in Chicago, where the Chicago Bears unveiled a nearly $5 billion proposal on Wednesday that included an enclosed stadium that would be the centerpiece of a major project that would transform the city's lakefront. You have to check out the renderings to get the full appreciation for the plans because they are impressive. It calls for $3.2 billion. That would be for the new stadium, plus an additional $1.5 billion in infrastructure. You see so much more than a stadium. You see a lot of green and open space, and of course, mixed-use concepts. The proposal calls for $2 billion from the Bears. That is a healthy contribution from that team. It also includes $300 million from an NFL loan and $900 million in bonds from the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority, which includes a hotel tax. Now, the Bears said that the facility or the concept would be built in three phases and construction would take up to 5 years. The announcement was, of course, met with a lot of skeptics and a lot of questions and some mixed reviews in Chicago. A lot of the locals want to see more details, and they certainly chafe at the concept of public support of sports facilities. But the city's mayor, Brandon Johnson, has developed a strong relationship with Bears CEO Kevin Warren, and the mayor will try to use his political capital to get this through. And the message time and again on Wednesday was that this project is much bigger than just football. They positioned it as transformative for the city of Chicago, a downtown facility that would host year-round events, concerts, youth sports, Final Fours, Big Ten championships, and the possibility of even bidding on the Super Bowl. And remember, all of this was announced one day before the Chicago Bears have the number one pick in tonight's draft, like Reggie talked about, and they have two picks in the top 10. So bottom line, this stadium deal has a long way to go, and it could change along that journey. But these are pretty dynamic days for the Chicago Bears. Let's stick with the NFL and the draft. It's fair to say that the image of Bill Belichick has taken quite a hit in the past year. Yes, he was always and always has been an acquired taste. He would never win any most popular contest. But between the Patriots' recent performance on the field, his exit from the team, his portrayal in the dynasty, and his inability to land a head coaching job over the offseason, the Belichick mystique has clearly been altered. And I call tonight the first attempt at the Belichick image makeover. He will start his post-Patriots career Thursday night around the draft, where he will join the Pat McAfee show as an analyst. He'll talk about the picks. He'll talk about the process. And if you saw his earlier appearance with McAfee, you saw a glimpse of how good Belichick could be on air. But that won't be it. You will see Belichick play a recurring role, more than likely, with the Manning brothers on ESPN's Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli, which I think has the potential to be very good. There is a lot of respect between Belichick and the Manning brothers, and of course, the Mannings and Belichick were such strong, fierce competitors and adversaries over the years. Now, the point for Belichick is to stay relevant and to show everyone out there how much he knows about football, how good he is at understanding and coaching football, and could that get him the attention of an owner looking to make a change on the sideline? In addition, there's a potential book deal and perhaps podcast in Belichick's future. So the return of Bill Belichick, maybe a kinder, gentler, more human Belichick, could emerge as early as tonight. You know, at the start of the MLB season, many sources wondered to me if baseball could maintain its pace of play on the field that it saw last year, because we saw the pace of play really increase dramatically. Faster games, shorter games, and there was concern some managers and players would be able to manipulate the system to slow the game down. But baseball has to be happy so far this season, as through the first few weeks of the year, baseball's average 9-inning games was 2 hours and 39 minutes. That's actually a minute less than what MLB games averaged over the course of last season. So that is good news for Major League Baseball that the pace of play continues in the right direction. We have talked about the strong ticket sales around the WNBA before its season starts. Here is another example. The Washington Mystics' June 7th game against, yes, Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever at Capital One Arena sold out its first run of tickets in under 3 hours after they went on sale. More tickets will be made available in the coming weeks, and the strong sales are extraordinary because, remember, this game was moved from the Mystics' regular facility to Capital One Arena. There'll be a lot of runway here to sell, and I think attendance at this game will be very, very strong. And in another healthy sign for the W, the Dallas Wings will likely move to downtown Dallas from Arlington starting in 2026. The team will be the main tenant at the Dallas Memorial Auditorium, which will be renovated to be a 10,000-seat auditorium and part of a larger redevelopment project. So the team will continue to play the next two seasons at the College Park Center in Arlington, Texas, and then go downtown. That's very good news. That will help ticket sales. That'll certainly help interest and attention around the Dallas Wings starting in 2026. And staying with the W, 43-year-old Sue Bird will become co-owner of the Seattle Storm as Bird joins the Storm's ownership group, which is called Force 10 Hoops. She becomes just the third former WNBA player to join a team's ownership group in the W. She follows Los Angeles Sparks star Lisa Leslie and Atlanta Dream guard Renee Montgomery. Both of them are part of those respective teams' ownership groups, and now Sue Bird becomes a co-owner in Seattle. And finally, let's end with this. Details from Endeavor's public filing shows compensation for its top executives, and let's just say the compensation is strong. CEO Ari Emanuel earned a pay package valued at nearly $65 million last year, largely a result of Endeavor's $21 billion deal to merge the UFC with the WWE, and that resulted in TKO Group, which has been a success. And TKO Group will remain a public company while Endeavor goes private as part of a big deal with Silver Lake. but Ari Emanuel and others greatly benefited from the success around the TKO group. And remember, they nailed down a 10-year, $5 billion media rights deal with Netflix for WWE's Raw in January. So TKO Group had a good year. So do their executives. Group President and COO Mark Shapiro earned a package valued at $16.1 million last year. WWE President Nick Khan took home a reported more than $32 million in compensation. So we don't see these compensation figures often, but this gives you a glimpse into what these executives made in a 12-month period at Endeavor. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Thursday, April 25th. I'm Abe Matcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Friday.